بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. البيت المقدس is like the yardstick of the ummah. If the ummah is right, then they have the full control. And if they're not at all right, then they lose total control. And they are partly right, then they get partial control. So this Bayt al-Muqaddas is the yardstick. It's a barometer, it's a gauge. After that, everything happens, and you will see it happening. Making noise, rioting, protesting. But this is the gauge of the ummah. Overall, Allah Ta'ala has a different system for every situation. The Baytullah, by the grace of Allah Ta'ala, will remain in the control of the believers. So, from the pre-Islamic right till now, and inshallah by His grace right to the end, that's in the control of the believers. Pre-Islamic, Abraha tried to smash it down, and he got smashed. And that story is so popular, everybody knows about it. And how miraculously such a huge, mighty army, super-duper army, just got crashed down, miraculously. So, one is the plan of the Baytullah, and one is the plan, and the Baytul Muqaddas, what is his plan? It's the cage. So, the religion of the past that was acceptable was Judaism, right? And Christianity was also a continuity of Judaism, but with some adjustments. It's called Isa ibn Maryam, Ya Bani Israel, Inni Rasulullahi Ilaykum. See that? So who was he commissioned to? When he said to the Jews, with some adjustments, وَلِأُحِلَّ لَكُمْ بَعْضَ الَّذِي حُرِّمَ عَلَيْكُمْ. There were some things that were made forbidden for you, and now I came to break the block, that reinstate the permissibility. So that was Isa alayhi salam, and that's Judaism. So they were the true religion of the time, and they had the full control of the Bayt al-Muqaddas. And then Allah Pakh announced to them, لَتُفْسِدُنَّ فِي الْأَرْضِ مَرَّتَيْنِ وَلَتَعْمُنَّ عُلُوًا كَبِيرًا. And then فَإِذَا جَاءَ وَعْدُ أُولَاهُمَا بَأَثْنَا عَلَيْكُمْ عِبَادٍ لَنَا أُولِي بَأَسٍ شَدِيدٍ فَجَاسُوا خِلَالَ الدِّيَارِ. You will cause a lot of mischief, the tufsiduna, two times, and you will gain a lot of power and might. So, when you commit that mischief for the first time, ba'athna alaykum ibadal lana uli ba'asin shadeed, we'll send our mighty men against you. They'll go right through your cities and towns, finish you up. So this will happen two times. Labak spoke and warned the Bani Israel, this is going to happen. So that mischief, and they lost the control. Corruption, and they lost the control. Otherwise, if you look at the Bani Israel from another perspective, then most will agree that they were the most sharp, or call it shrewd, whatever, but they're so articulate, they can plan, they can see, understand things better than others, right? That we understand, right? They say also, when the Jew boys have to leave a certain place, then there's some trouble. And when the rest of the whites are leaving, then the trouble is becoming serious. And when the Indian is leaving, then they're already in the soup. They missed the boat already. But this is how it works. You can just sense a thing and they're moving. Right? So with all the intelligence, understanding, power, the ability to see things, conspire, and plan things, a lot of it will smash you down. And then two rulers, Titus and someone else, will be enslaved, all of them. And Allah Ta'ala took pity over them over after a period of time and released them from their bondage. But again, they reverted to mischief. So this ummah also, it follows the same pattern. So it is not just one small group that Allah Pak will watch. You see the overall condition of the ummah. How is it? Some 7-8 years ago, maybe 10 years ago, the head of the Gulen movement, they came here. Because they go on a different name, star schools or whatever. Overall, it's the same. Say that Midran Jamaat. So they were here. So they wanted to dialogue, discuss. They got some nice Turkish gifts and all that. But they wanted to dialogue, right? So, in the course of the discussion, so I just had to. There was something that came up. So I said, see, there are quite a few of your students that are enrolled in our madrasa. And we are receiving calls from your institute that these children must be sent back. Children means grown up, 20, 25. They must be sent back. So we approached those children that your institute that you were in previously, once you're back, so why don't you go? So they said, no, we can't go. So I asked them, all right, is it because of the food? He said, no, the food there is much better. Every meal you're getting chops, all these type of things, and with all that you're getting a Coke. So the food there is much better, all right? Maybe the living conditions may not be so grand. No, that also, like a park, a landscape, look outside, and 3-4 people to a room. So the living conditions also are better, and the food is also better there. But then, why do you insist on remaining here? So their reply was that there's no sunnah there. I asked him, or I just explained what you mean by no sunnah. So he says, no, every child is required to shave off his beard. Right? And they banned from listening to one of Khatani's talks. So if any child is caught listening to his talks, then they take him out of madrasa. So I explained, this is what they're saying. Now, when this group came in, the African head, see the movement, so the head of the whole Africa division, he was here, and the Midran main imam, Turkish imam, he was here. Right. So, he got a little bit upset when I spoke about their complaint that there is no sunnat, therefore we are leaving. he's telling you, but you know, he's starting off now, you know, majority, minority, that type of discussion he's giving me. So HMC, understand, these type of things are not based on majority and minority. Because if it was based on minority and majority, look in any area, majority of the people are coming for Fajr Namaz, or minority are coming. If it was based on majority and minority, then by now Fajr Namaz would have been maft. Because majority is not really. So I could see now that Midran Imam got really, really worked up. Face is red, tomatoes. So, that Africa head, you know, he brought all the expensive gifts. So, you know, have this compliments of us. So, busy now, JazakAllah for the meeting, packed up and gone. So, Islam is not about numbers. Islam is not about a show. Not numbers and not a show. Islam is work. Right? And the work is at three levels. Hazrat Ji Mu'inamul Hasan Sahib, rahmatullah alayhi, he was an international istima. International mashwara. Right? All the responsible zimmedars from all areas, all countries, they're together. So, one person had to say, حضرت ہم اس نتیجے کے اوپر پہنچے کہ یہی کام ہے. We come to the conclusion that this is the work. حضرت صاحب was a very great muhaddith and a very great alim. But because he wasn't so talkative, so people didn't understand him. But overall he was very great, extremely great. Just to make you understand how great he was, he's left Nizamuddin, he's going on a safar, right? So, he's going out to fetch his shoes and leave. On the road to the car, one person is asking, that, see, I got this, I translated Al-Adabul Mufrad, Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi. I want you to read through it and give some preface or some introduction. So when I heard the word, he said, alright, see, look at these 10 areas and see how you have translated in these 10 areas. If you got it like this, then you got it right. And if you don't have it, then it's not right. Now, off the cuff to say it like that, you're moving, and to say it so with such precision, then it's not every person's cup of tea. He was have got a lot of ubur to speak like this. Many a times it would be that the Shaykh al-Hadith is writing his al-Awjaz. Right? And sometimes he wants a reference, sometimes he wants clarification, sometimes he wants something to be elucidated and explained more. And he can't get it in Sahanpur, in the madrasa. So, sometimes it's 10 points, 15 points, 20 points, he wants that. So he will tell his friends, Ther jao, Muli Inam ko aane do. Just wait, just hold on, let my Inam sahab come in. As he comes in, so he says, ye chai wagera band kar lena, ذرا یہ ہمارے مسائل اٹکے ہوئے ذرا اس کو حل کر دو. He's still walking to where they're going to go and sit down. En route, about five masalas are already sorted out. This one here you'll find it on this page, this one you'll find it here, you'll find it like this here, you'll find it like that. With all the references, the meaning, explanations, all find it. So, he was not recognized. People didn't recognize him because he wasn't a very outspoken person. Quiet, keeping to himself, and very deep. A man that was very deep in dini understanding, that was extremely deep. Well, unfortunately today, if someone is not an outspoken person, then people take him very, very lightly, what he knows, he doesn't know. And he will show it exactly, all the reference. So yeah, you'll find it here, this one you find it there. So much so that even Muhammad Yusuf Sahab, there was the previous Amir, when he's writing his Hayat al-Sahaba, he's looking for references, etc. He's referring to Imam Hussain Sahab. So, what is this? What is this? Can you explain this? Elucidate this? Give further explanation, details to this? Right. But now, all calm, a lot of talkative, not too forward in doing things. Very smart in doing things. Encouraging. But he won't show that he is the leader. He'll never show that. But he will encourage, he will support, will do everything. So on his own, you don't see what he is. You don't know what he is. Now, he was a comprehensive package. Extremely comprehensive. If he's got tabligh in God, he's got tasawuf as well. The humility he's got, Asaj. That they're traveling, him, Yusuf Sahab, and others are traveling by train, right? And the train got stuck. And they announce now that the train is stuck. So you're not going to be traveling with this train now. It will take at least a day to sort out. So the townspeople got to know that the Amir of the Jamaat is here. The whole town was there. Come to our place. So Imam Yusuf Sahab was a natural orator. Very powerful. Very mighty. So they insisted now. In the meanwhile, there was an istima that they are returning from. And for approximately 3-4 days, Imam Yusuf Sahab hadn't slept. So we only look at the one side. He is the main man here. He's sitting, taking the stage. The whole world is after him. But do you see the effort that was behind? 3-4 nights, no sleep. And one couldn't give the 3-4 nights continuously at work with no sleep. He's not in a position of delivering a bayan. And Imam Hussain Sahab, on that day, he said, "See, in all my life, I never look forward to being an orator. But if it was a day that I wanted to be an orator, it was on that day, so that I could relieve my sati, my childhood sati, Imam Yusuf Sahab rahmatullahi, let him rest and I will do the bayan." But you see this, he doesn't want to take the limelight. No spotlight, no limelight. Let's remain in the shadows. Work is done. Let's encourage it, support it, must happen, right? Whatever is required for the work to be done, let's do that. But let's not become, let's not go onto the spotlight. So the idea was something else. The idea was deen must flourish. Our name, etc., that's not the criteria. Let the work happen. So we are talking about Imam Hussain Sahab Rahmatullahi, and one person is saying, Yahi kaam hai, in that international mashwara, we have come to this conclusion that this is the work. Now, sometimes, understand how works happen, right? Sometimes it happens that because of the circumstance, one work is more important than the other at that time. Right? And you see this quite often in the hadith. Ayul a'mali afdal. Which work is best? So, there are about 4 riwayats. One is saying, it'amu ta'am. Feeding. One is saying iqamu salah. Right? One is saying al-jihadu fi sabilillah. Right? So there's about 4 or 5 riwayas of that, right? So the popular explanation that is given is that Rasulullah is looking at the person that he's talking or the crowd that he's talking to. For you, under your circumstances, this is the best. For you, this is the best. For you, this is the best. Now you can't use it as a general application and a general rule. So what was best for that person at that time, Rasulullah SAW explained. So sometimes one work is more important than the other. Like, look at it, medication also is very important, right? And water is also very, very important. Right? Now at the time there is a water crisis, then hey, so leave the medicine now, just worry about the water. People are dying with thirst. Won't you say that? But can you say that you're ruling off the medication? No, it's important, but now at this time, that water takes precedent. That's an essential, life essential. The senior comes at a time. Sometimes you need it, sometimes you don't need it. But this is a daily, daily need. Can't do without it. So, understand things in context. That is why it is important to learn Quran, Sharif, Hadith, etc. But learn it under someone that is experienced, saw it, understood it nicely, got that experience, so you won't have any doubts and suspicions. We'll come back to this more in our sense of story, right? But as the thoughts are flowing in my mind, one doctor came here. So he says, no, Imam, there's a contradiction in Bukhari Sharif. And I want to find what's the oral, how do you reconcile it? So, before telling him anything, I have to first hear his side of the story. So he's explaining to me, you see there's a hadith now, Abu Qatada radiallahu anhu, and Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam just refused to do the janazah namaz of the person that was in death. And there's another hadith that Rasulullah did the janazah namaz. So now, how do you reconcile? So I told the doctor, Sachi, I'll give you the answer, but after I give you the answer, then I want an undertaking from you. I'm not going to give it just like that. So alright, it's a tall order you're giving me, but let's see. One was at a time, when there was nothing in the Baitul Mal. There was hardly anything. When there was nothing in the Baitul Mal, and this person is dying in death now, this hukukul ibad is outstanding. So how can I then perform his janazah namaz? It's outstanding. I read the janazah namaz, then the hukam is something else. So Rasulullah refused to do the janazah namaz. Sallu ala akhikum. The second situation is when there was abundance in the Baitul Mal, public treasury, there was a lot of money. So then it was announced, Man taraka kallan aw diyan fa'alayya. Right? If someone has a debt or something he's got and some burden, then I would be responsible. I will be responsible. If he's left wealth, then that is for his heirs. But if he's left any debts, etc., responsibilities, I will take care of. So now you see these two situations. One is this was the circumstance, and one is this was the circumstance. Now I said to the doctor, do you find any confusion in your mind? He said, no. He said, now the undertaking is, please, you don't go into self-study. He said, now, tomorrow will come with another problem, next day will be another problem. The easy way out is someone must supervise the whole study. When someone is supervising the study, you don't have problems. But now you're doing it on your own, experimenting on your own, every coming day you'll have another problem. One woman became a widow. You know? Old woman, 80, 82 years of age, she became a widow. So, the Jamaats, or the Musallis and all that, they came to offer condolence. So she's crying away. So as they're offering her the condolence, yeah, all right, condolence is in his place. But you know, my husband left 20,000 hectares of land, you know. And the crops are all coming up. Who's going to take care of that? So no, I will do that, don't worry. One person says, no, I'll do that. Then she says, but he's left about 5,000 dairy cattle. I said, no, no, don't worry. No. You know, I must be able to offer some service to you, you know. Then she said, at the end, she says, you know, but he's left a debt of $50 million or so. So now he says, hey, you know, har kaam mein main apne aap ko pesh karu, wo saathi bhi kuch kahe. Everywhere I must offer myself. What about you people? So with the enjoyment, he takes it on. When there's problems, he says, you people go and sort it out. And Rasulullah wasn't there. He says, when you got a problem, then I will do it. And for the happy moments, good moments, that's yours. But the difficulties, trials, kallan or dhyan fa'alayya, then I will take it on. See the nubuwwat, how it works. The brain, the mindset, the understanding. It's totally different to our Western secular mind. That secular mind is different, and this mind is different. And we don't want to come on. The most difficult here is yahan par zehn banana. To shape the mind right. So now where the mind has gone off, we come to a planet of color and shape, right? Color, shape and taste. That's how you can summarize the entire world, right? So three things, what? Color, shape, and taste, right? Taste can be good food, can be good holidays, good cars, everything that the eyes admire, right? Good holidays, all that, right? So we came into this world of taste, color, and shape, right? And then unfortunately, many of us then get consumed either in the taste, color, or shape. We get consumed. So when we get consumed, then the work of the Sufis is to create an awareness that please don't get into this. Don't get into this. If you get into this, then for you to come out of this will be difficult. Don't get into this. So their work is, what is their work? Their work is to wake you up from that slumber. You in a stupor, you in a slumber, you in an intoxicated state. These things have been intoxicated, whether it's wealth, whether it's color, whether it is shape, whether it is taste, all these things has intoxicated you. So they're getting you up by, your home is elsewhere. Your home is the akhirat, is jannat. That's the place that you are, that's your destination. Now you came on the road and you stepped away here, not realizing that your destination is elsewhere. You know, they talk about the Qawm Aad, you know, and the destruction that they were faced with. So they were struck with a drought a couple of good years. Animals, stocks, all dying, right? So they sent one delegation to the Kaaba Sharif to go and intercede for them, right? They would intercede, but they sent one. In the meanwhile, the Nabi is telling them, what's your solution? فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَأَطِيعُونَ. Your solution is, fear Allah Ta'ala and listen to me. See, the Tabligh Jamaat announcement, Hamari kaamyabi aur aapki kaamyabi, right? Our success, Allah Ta'ala's commands and the Rasulullah's maze. Alright, in a simple form of keep it, but same thing, فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَأَطِيعُونَ. Is it any different? If you summarize it, it's about the same. But just that they come up in a very simple way, and because they come in a simple way, we underestimate them. So they also come in for the same reason. فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَأَطِيعُونَ. Now in the surah, we'll find about 7 times this is repeated. فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَأَطِيعُونَ. فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَأَطِيعُونَ. Same thing. Now, then it makes you think, alright, if the message was given once, we understood it, but why is Allah repeated second time, third time, fourth time, fifth time, sixth time? Why? To get your mind indoctrinated by this is the solution. This is your problem. Understand, realize, come to your realization that. So these people have ignored the Nabi. Say, we'll go direct. What? We'll go direct to the Kaaba Sharif and put our plea there. And the Nabi is telling them, by your solution is فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَأَطِيعُونَ أَتَبْنُونَ بِكُلِّ رِيعٍ آيَةً تَعْبَثُونَ فَاتَّخِذُونَ مَصَانِعَ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَخْلُونَ. Big, big buildings, like you're going to be living forever here. See that? What is the Nabi saying? فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَأَطِيعُونَ. No, ignore the Nabi. We'll do our own thing. So the ulama in every age, they also tell you the same thing. Qarun came out with his wealth. So there's 2 classes of people. One is the dunyadar. Ya layta lana misla ma utiya Qarun. It's all the pomp and the glory. Mafatihuhu latanu'u bil usbati min al quwa. Just the keys of the treasures, strong body people couldn't carry. So imagine what treasures Allah must have blessed him with. Now, on one side, there is the dunyadar. Dunyadar, what they saying? Ya layta lana misla ma utiya Qarun. That this is the solution. Paise aa gaye to sab kuch ho gaya. Now, unfortunately now, whether it is learned, not learned, pious, or not pious, our minds have become like that, warped, that agar maal aa gaya, to sab kuch aa gaya. If you got the control of the finance, then you got it. Now, if that was true, just look at it for a moment, right? The world's wealth is around the Middle East, right? All say that it's around the Middle East. But then, the Muslims are the most downtrodden, aren't they? With all the wealth and control, but they're the most downtrodden. You look at the Western countries, Europe, they're not productive. The only thing they're doing is machinery. So if you talk about production, it's either coming from Africa, and if you're talking of energy, then it's Middle East. So if you talk of anything that's natural, it's not coming from there. That's why you got a big crisis in England, right? They cut off from the rest of the union and they are in problems themselves. But in spite of that, they still manipulated. So this maal is not the solution. Ya layta lana misla ma utiya Qarun. But I say there were 2 groups. So they saying, the ulama and buzugana deen, mashai, they sing them, you know, وَيْلَكُمْ ثَوَابُ اللَّهِ خَيْرٌ لِمَنْ آمَنَ وَعَمِلَ صَالِحًا. What you're supposed to be looking is, look at the akhirat. Our success in this life and the next life. See the Tabligh Jamaat motto, this life and that life, right? So yeah, see that, what he's saying here. ثَوَابُ اللَّهِ خَيْرٌ لِمَنْ آمَنَ وَعَمِلَ صَالِحًا. That akhirat is much important, much better. But how you get this, وَلَا يُلَقَّاهَا إِلَّا الصَّابِرُونَ. For that, you have to just resist the temptation. The temptation is going to be on. You ask any child, put a phone on in his hands, can he resist the temptation? Can't. Ask an adult, can he resist? Ask a pious person, can he resist? So, the whole criteria is the resistance. وَلَا يُلَقَّاهَا إِلَّا الصَّابِرُونَ. You resist the temptation. It's going to tempt. That's the plan. That's the design of Allah Ta'ala. There's going to be things that's going to be attracting you. زُيِّنَ لِلنَّاسِ أُبُّ الشَّهَوَاتِ مِنَ النِّسَاءِ. All this is going to attract you. Wealth, glory, all this is going to attract you. And Your fortune is in what? وَلَا يُلَقَّهَا إِلَّا الصَّابِرُ. Hold back. You hold back, then everything is yours. زمین تمہاری, سما تمہاری, ارض تمہارا, everything is yours then. But then you hold back, resist temptation, doubtful areas, for the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala, not because of convenience. People say, sabr to majboori ka naam hai. It's wrong that. Sabr majboori ka naam nahi hai. You got the might, you got the control, but just for the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala, you're holding back. You can do what you want. You can do, you can have your way. But then you're looking at what Allah Pak likes, and you're holding it, you're holding it back. لَا يُلَقَّاهَا إِلَّا الصَّابِرُونَ. So, the ulama also said the same thing. Buzurganadin, وَيْلَكُمْ. What's wrong with you? How can you make such a terrible statement? يَا لَيْتَ لَنَا مِثْلَ مَا أُوتِيَ قَارُونَ. See what they're saying. So that means, learned people that are consumed in the world, then they can't be learned people. وَقَالَ الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْعِلْمَ وَالْإِمَانَ وَقَالَ الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْعِلْمَ وَيْلَكُمْ. See that. So the ulul ilm will talk to you, will invite you towards akhirat. So the thing that they have got a passion about, you know, they're impassionate about is akhirat. So if there's an alim but he's not impassionate about that, then there's something that's missing. Like, you get scholars, right, in Islam, right? Scholars that are Jews, Christians, right? And they write kitab better than us. They know more about Islam than you. But will you allow them to give a Jummah talk here? Why? The element of Iman is not there. Similarly, now this person is consumed in the love of the world, then is he in that position? Yes. وَلَكِنَّهُ أَخْلَدَ إِلَى الْأَرْضِ. Allah Pak talks about بَلْ أَمْ بَعُورَ وَلَكِنَّهُ أَخْلَدَ إِلَى الْأَرْضِ. He had been blessed, that person. النَّبَأَ الَّذِي آتَيْنَاهُ آيَاتِهِ. Allah Pak blessed him with knowledge. وَلَكِنَّهُ أَخْلَدَ إِلَى الْأَرْضِ. But he, the dunya, like I say, the taste, color and the shape had the better. It consumed him. فَمَثَلُوا. Then see the description. Allah Pak says, مَثَلُهُ كَمَثَلِ الْكَلْبِ. What a terrible thing. So the requirement of that alim is, by you must be consumed with the hereafter, akhir. That must be your main concern. جَعَلَ الْهُمُومَ هَمَّنْ وَاحِدًا. That's the main concern. Dunya, let it tag along. But I need to protect, I need to look after. So this is the work of the Sufi Ikiram. Right? To create a realization. You've been caught, you've been drowned, you've been consumed with all these things here. And that is why you're so worried. Worried about this account and that debt and all. Right? If that was the primary concern, then this wouldn't have been. This by the way now. Like we have to eat, right? So it's not a real concern what they're going to be preparing for iftar. Eat inshallah, whatever it is, eat and carry on. Just refuel and carry on. That's what we'll say. Won't we say that? No worrying about it must be Shell garage, or it must be BP garage, or engine garage. Refuel and carry on. So that's an alim. Allah Mustafa will say, Talib ilm aadmi bara achha hota hai. Strong of good students, you know. They are too good, too smart. If there's simple food for days or months, they're comfortable. And if there's a special, they're also comfortable. Special also, they're enjoying it. But if it's just simple food, they're also still enjoying it. They're not complaining about this. And they're not too excited about it. Alright, they'll enjoy that. But they're not too excited about it. It must be like this. So now, this is the work of the Sufiya Kiram and the real ulama. قال الذين أوتوا العلم ويلكم ثواب الله خير لمن آمن وعمل صالحا. See what it says. But then after that it's too late when the divine command comes in. خسفنا بي وبدار الأرض. Then it's too late. You missed the boat already. Gone. خلاص. So coming back to Well, in our lesson separate. So he asked the person who said, yahi kaam hai. So he says, aapne kya kaha, what did you say? Maine kaha ki bas ye hum is natije ke upar pahunche ke yahi kaam hai. Okay, you kaho ke ye bhi kaam hai. In one word, correct the thing. Ye bhi kaam hai. This is a lot of deen you work. This is also important, that is also important, that is also all a deen, all our works. But in just one word, he sorted him out. See the depth of the man's knowledge. And not, he's not emotional, he's not lost himself in composure, but in one word, he got the person right. Allah.